Ezekiel, Daniel? Daniel. Immediately after Daniel. Do you want the whole chapter?
Can we just go to verse 12?
Yeah. Hosea chapter 10. You all got it?
I need the chapter again.
Hosea chapter 10. Good. Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. Then they will say, "We have no king because we did not revere the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us?" They make many promises, take false oaths, and make agreements. Therefore, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a ploughed field. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth Aven. Its people will mourn over it, and so will its idolatrous priests. Those who had rejoiced over its splendor, because it had taken from them into exile, it will be carried to Assyria as tribute for the great king. Ephraim will be disgraced. Israel will be ashamed of its wooden idols. Samaria and its king will float away like a twig on the surface of the waters. The high places, the wickedness, will be destroyed. It is a sin of Israel. Thorns and thistles will grow up and cover their altars. Then they will say to their mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." Since the days of Gibeah, you have sinned, O Israel, and there you have remained. Did not war overtake the evil doers of Gibeah? When I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them to put them in bonds for their double sin. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. So I'll put a yoke on her fair neck. I will drive Ephraim. Judah must plough, and Jacob must break up the ground. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unploughed ground. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you.
Thank you, God. And it's that last verse that we're going to think about this morning. I don't know if you're like me, when you hear somebody reading, do the Bible reading, you think, I wonder what verse, you're looking out for what verse they might preach on from a passage. Well, it's a fairly obvious passage for us this morning. And as I said before, we're thinking about sowing. And it says here, sow righteousness for yourselves. Is there a PowerPoint for this, Chris? There we go. This is the key verse. And we're going to be thinking this morning about sowing or planting and ploughing. So we've got a little picture there of somebody planting, and we've got somebody ploughing as well. Because the verse speaks about sowing and breaking up your unploughed land. So it's planting and ploughing this morning. First of all, excuse me, we'll think about the planting, the sowing. But before I do, let me just make a comment at this point, before we start really. You know, God wants you to have a harvest in your life. God wants you to have a good harvest in your life. I just think on Harvest Thanksgiving service. That's a really good one to say. We've got it twice in this verse. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. God wants you to reap that fruit. That's what God wants you to have. Break up your unplowed ground. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. It's in the first phrase and it's in the last phrase. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be in a place and a condition where he can give you good things, things that will satisfy you, things that will give you a sense of peace and joy and rest and contentment. God's desire is that you will live with a sense of well-being, that you will live with a sense of safety. God's desire for you is that you will live a life that feels useful, that will be worthwhile. He wants your life to be fruitful and not fruitless. He wants you to flourish rather than to shrivel. Don't mistake that with what you'll read on and see on the television sometimes, that if you give this, then God will make you rich and all of this. That is different to what we're talking about here. We're not talking prosperity gospel. We're talking about an inner peace. We're talking about an inner sense of satisfaction. And that can be yours regardless of your circumstances or situation. And I think if I was to ask any one of you here this morning, you would say, yes, that's the kind of life that I would want. That's what I would love to have. Some of you will be sitting here, praise God, and saying, yeah, that's what I have because of God. And I'm grateful for him this morning. Others of you would be sitting here and it would be a pipe dream for. I want to tell you this morning that as you take God seriously in your life, you put him first. His desire is for you to know that peace and that joy. Let me show you three verses that back this up. If you, and notice the conditions. You see, this is the thing. There are conditions with this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. There's a promise there, but there's dependent on certain other things. The second one, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. This is the words of Jesus. That's why he came. That they is us, believers, people who trust in him, that we might have life and have it to the full. The fruit of the Spirit, this is the work of God in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. They sound a lot like good things to me, don't they? And that's what God wants to bring in our lives by the work of his Holy Spirit. And one last one, the peace of God which transcends all your heart. Which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the context there is about presenting our prayers and our requests to God. It's about trusting. God wants us to have these things. Now, let's get into the text a little bit more. We're going to think about the planting and the sowing here from Hosea chapter 10, first of all. You see, the instructions, the Israelites to whom this word was originally given are instructed to sow, what does it say? To sow righteousness, which in this context means to sow things like truthfulness and honesty, to live in that kind of way, to live truthfully, to live honestly, to live and treat people with fairness, genuine justice and compassion. And it means respect and honor for God. In other words, sowing good things. We mentioned it with the children. I'll come back to it in just a moment. It sounds obvious, doesn't it? But in reality, it was a stark contrast to what the Israelites had been doing. You see, the nation had been sowing bad seed. In Hosea's time, the nation was a mess. Things were going from bad to worse for them. Nothing that they did seemed to be working out as they had hoped. And the message that Hosea, as a prophet from God, as a messenger from God, delivered to them was quite a simple one. You're reaping what you've sown. The reason these bad things are happening to you in this situation is because you're not honoring God. You see, the essence of it is that a bad seed will reap a bad harvest. If John had read on into verse 13, if you've got your Bibles open, this is what it says. Having said, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love. He goes on, but you have planted wickedness and you have reaped evil. You've eaten the fruit of deception because you've depended on your own strength. He said, you've trusted yourself. You've left God out. You thought you knew a better way. You thought you could do it by yourself. You haven't honoured me. And the consequence is that things have gone from bad to worse, because God will not be mocked. And they were moaning and bemoaning the situation, their circumstances in life. But Hosea's message is that things are about to get a lot worse. And I have a lot of people say to me at different times, why me? What have I done? And these are often people who, when I start to talk to them, they're not honouring God in their life. They're not respecting God. I'll talk to them and I'll say, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. But God doesn't play a part in their life at all. And yet they expect him somehow to bring down good things and, you know, keep them from harm and sadness and disappointment and frustration. But the promises of God are for those who respect him, for those who honour him. You see, if we sow bad seed, then the chances are we'll yield a bad harvest. The remedy to this is that we need to change and start to plant good seed. And that's what Hosea says to them. Sow for yourselves righteousness, and then you will reap the fruit of unfailing love. Things won't change until you change the seed that you're planting. Until you start to plant good seed. The instruction is to sow. Sow for yourselves. And you know, in our lives sometimes we can look, and sometimes things go pear shape, and sometimes it's through nothing that we've done. There's no reason, you know, it just happens that way. There's plenty of examples in the Bible of where good people, bad things have happened to good people. But we have to face up to the fact that also bad things happen to otherwise good people, but they've made some bad choices. They've been living with a bad attitude to God or to other people. And we need to look at our life choices. We need to look at our decisions. We need to look at our attitudes. We need to look at our words. We need to look at our behavior, our habits, our spending patterns, and our priorities, and all of those things. And above all, we need to look at our treatment of God. Before we start bemoaning about God, we need to think, how are we treating him? Because there is the problem so many times. We're sowing bad seed. We're not sowing to God. We're sowing to ourselves. And yet we expect God to bless us. The remedy is that we start to sow good seed. And the irony is that we often know that, don't we? We know that we should be doing things. The hard thing is to do it. There was a word for this. It's called procrastination. Don't hear the word very often these days, but I grew up in my church, and my old pastor, well, he was old, he was 53. Funny how age seems to get different as you go older, doesn't it? But he used to talk about this a lot, putting off things that you know you ought to be doing. And we're great at that, aren't we? Generally, we put it off, and we always think there'll be a better time. The Lord says, sow for yourselves seeds of righteousness. What is the good seed that we need to sow then? Well, it is, as I've already implied, we've got to put God first in our life. If we want things to change in our lives, we've got to put him first. We've got to respect him. We need to listen to him. And of course, we need to obey him. We need to be sowing to our soul. We need to be sowing for eternity, things with eternal value. We need to give him time. We need to give him attention. That means putting him first and prioritizing him and the things about him and the things that he likes above ourselves. That means looking at our diaries. That means looking at how we live our lives rather than just fitting him in with the bits that we can afford or feel like it. Part of that will be commitment to meet with each other, to encourage each other, to be in supported and encouraged, to be in the place where we hear God's word, to be in the place of prayer. It means getting time by ourselves to read God's word, carving that time out. If you can't do it every day, then do it as regularly as you can. But the point is, if you never do it, then what does it say about your relationship to God? If you didn't speak to your children or you didn't speak to your husband and wife, the people that you say you love, what would it say? And the sowing the good seed is giving God our time and our attention. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I think it was, about seeking first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. That's where it starts. Sowing good seed, seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus was once asked, what's the first and the greatest commandment? And he said, the first commandment is this. Love the Lord your God with, count me on this one, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Just love God, put him first with everything. And then he said, the second is like this. Can you remember what the second command is? Love your neighbor as yourself. Sowing good seed consists of putting God first and then thinking of other people. We used to sing a song when I was a boy, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, I know what it means. I'm not going to sing it. Does the word sound ring with anybody? Mark, do you remember that one? J-O-Y, J-O-Y, I know what it means. Jesus first, others next, and yourself last of all. Jesus, others, yourself, J-O-Y. And it's putting God first and then sowing for other people. That's the good seed. That can involve a whole host of things. Acts of kindness, compassion, words of gentleness and support and understanding, being honest and truthful, sharing our time and our energy, basically sharing ourselves with other people. So, what are we sowing? What are we sowing? What are you sowing this morning? What are you hoping to reap? I'll leave it with you. God will speak that to you. A few more minutes. There's planting, but there's also, we said there was going to be ploughing. Remember, you have to plough the ground before you can sow it, really. It says, break up your unploughed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Breaking up the unploughed ground is, it literally means the fallow ground. It's ground that would be good for growing in, but you haven't sown there. It's fallow. It's productive, but it's currently doing nothing. And fallow ground is characterized by being weedy, it's overgrown, often it's trodden down. And God is saying to the Israelites that their hearts have largely become like this fallow ground. They could be so productive, but their hearts have become hard and overgrown. Overgrown, too overgrown to receive the seed of God's word and therefore the blessings that he wants to bring to them. And we can be like that as well. Maybe a little illustration from my own garden will help here. So here's my vegetable plots. I started with one. That was my first one, and that was the second one. That was the one I dug first of all. When we moved into the house, the bungalow, it was just all grass and quite overgrown. Lots of apple trees and pear trees and things that weren't producing fruit. So I cut those down and we had the first little vegetable plot on that. To do that, I had to take away the grass and turf that up and got rid of that and dug it all over and put some nutrients in and some muck and all of those kind of things. And then that was the last one I had. I'll come to that in a moment and explain to you why. So over time, I've gradually increased the amount of vegetable space that we have. One of the things that I had to do for this one here was to break up the hard ground. I had to plow up, I had to dig over the fallow ground. I'll tell you why it was fallow, and I'll tell you why I had to dig it up. It was because that was where we had our chickens. If you've been here any length of time, you'll know that we used to keep chickens. After 15 had been eaten by the fox, we gave up. We kind of had five and five and five, and each time the fox came in and got them, we said, it's just not kind on the foxes to eat our chicken. I mean, not kind on the chickens to be eaten by the foxes, particularly the scrawny foxes that seemed to delight to get our chickens. So we gave up on the chickens. But if you know what chickens look like, here we go. There's a picture of a chicken run down the bottom here. When the chickens grow, we put them on. It was lovely grass to start with. Within a few weeks, the grass had gone, and it was just dirt. And they trod it down, and it was hard. If I'd have sown seed on that land, nothing would have grown. The hard ground had to be dug up. It had to be brought back into action again. So we have to break up the hard ground. Our hearts can become hard because of hurt or disappointment or ill treatment. And we can, if we're not careful, get into a position of settled unbelief where we don't expect God to do anything because we've lived for a while with hurt and maybe prayer not being answered. And our hearts are hard and unresponsive to the word of God. And when that happens, we need to plough it up. We need to make it soft again. You need to ask God by his spirit to bring a softness to you. Just to work. And digging is hard work. And it's painful work. But ultimately it's productive work as well. If you want to have the production, then you've got to have the ploughing. First thing is to break up the hard ground. The second thing is that we need to move what I'm calling stumps and roots. I've got a picture here of a stump that I dug up. You might just see the connection. From that one, you can see that's the rabbit hutch or the rabbit run. And the picture I'm showing you now is over there. So you can see the rabbit hutch. So you can get a sense where it is in our garden. And it was one of those trees. It was a brambly apple tree. But the apples were about that big. And it was all over the place, and it needed to come out because I can now put that land into better use. So I had to dig the stump out, and while it was there, I had to dig down, and it was back-breaking work. The roots are still, I've still got to dig some more roots out. Need to dig them out, though, because otherwise they're going to stop me using the land. And you know, in our lives, sometimes there are stumps and roots that need to be dug out. Things that have been there for years. Things that have been in our lives from previous experiences that have left hurts and resentments and regrets and bitterness and self-pity. You know, whilst those things are in our lives, the good fruit will not grow as productive as it should do. We need to get rid of the roots that are there so that the new seed, the seed of God's grace, can be grown. Are there things in your life that you need to deal with? You know, how do I deal with them? I haven't time to go into that this morning, but if you recognize in your life there's something that is a stumbling block, and you keep, every time you put the spade in to do some good stuff, and you hit this root, you hit this and it just stops you. If you've got that, what I want to encourage you to do this morning is certainly pray, but talk to someone about it, because maybe they can help. Have a word with Ray. Have a word with myself. Let's see if we can't help you through this to get rid of these roots so that you can be productive in your life. Sometimes we need to break up the hard ground. We need to remove stumps. And the last one, we need to dig up the weeds. And again, this isn't my garden, by the way. This is just one I found on the internet. But I did last Saturday, not yesterday, the Saturday before, spent the whole Saturday de-weeding my vegetable patch. It had got completely overgrown. I thought, if I don't do it now, when I come to sow my seeds later in the year or next spring, I'm just going to have a horrendous job. There were all kinds of weeds in it. There were stinging nettles and bellbine and the startings of brambles and all of those kind of things. And so I had to dig it. And then I've still got to dig it over. But you've got to remove the weeds. And it's so easy, isn't it? You don't have to plant weeds. They just grow. And in our life, we don't have to do anything for the weeds to grow. And that's the point. If we don't put good things in, then weeds will grow. You remember the old saying, the devil will find work for what? Idle hands to do. If we're not working, if we're not sowing good things, if we're not tilling our soil of our hearts and our lives, then weeds will grow. And if you're finding yourself frustrated and disappointed and you're thinking, I'm not enjoying the blessing of God, but you want to, then maybe one of these things is what you need to do. You need to start sowing some good seed. But maybe before you sow the seed, you need to do a bit of ploughing. And you need to allow God to do a bit of ploughing. There's some unbelief that's there. You need to get that dealt with. You need to talk to him about it and ask him to help you overcome it. Maybe there's things in your life, resentments and hurts you need to deal with. Or maybe there's just a load of weeds. I call them space wasters. Just things that are in your life, and they, whilst they're there, nothing else will happen. It needs to be dealt with. You need to kill them off. You need to dig them out. Some of those things, some of the weeds are not necessarily wrong, but they take up your time. They take up your energy. They take up your thoughts, and they don't give time for the good seed. They're just a nuisance, and they keep your heart from being productive. So planting and ploughing. I want to encourage us this morning to be people that are planting, continuously planting good seed. Good seed of putting God first in our lives. Prioritizing Him and His, the things that are important to Him. Investing in people. Caring for other people. And you know what? Then God will send the showers of His blessing. The joy of His fruit will spring up in your life. The joy, the peace, the patience, the faithfulness, the long-suffering, all of those things that we all long for, God will produce in our lives when we allow Him to take priority and we follow Him with all of our hearts. So just a moment of reflection as we finish this morning. I want the music team, if you come and join us, so we're ready to sing. Just a moment of